Welcome to the Mind Health Coach Program with Leah Marie here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. You can learn more about Leah's coaching services at mindhealthcoach.com. Thank you for joining us today as we journey into the discovery of natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. The power of a beautiful life is within you today.
Welcome to the Mind Health Coach Program. I'm Leah Marie, your host, and you're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 Radio Network broadcast here at 1610 AM, WMEX Radio Boston. And the show is heard every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also tune into my show on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Friday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And to learn more and for a full station broadcast schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. And you can also visit my website at www.mindhealthcoach.com. So tonight I'm here with a close neighbor, actually, Laura Marie, and she is a professional-level Kripalu yoga teacher, advanced teacher of therapeutic yoga, integrative yoga therapist, adaptive yoga teacher for MS, has advanced training level 2 eye rest yoga nidra, and a designation of, what is that, E-R-Y-T 500 for 500 hours, I guess, as a registered yoga teacher, right? From
correct.
The National, from the National Yoga Alliance. And she's a member of the Kripalu Yoga Teachers Association, IRES Community Network, International Association of Yoga Therapists, and the Mass Yoga Network. So, Laura, welcome to the Mind Health Coach Program. How are you doing tonight?
Thank you for having me, Leah. I'm doing great, and I'm really excited to be with you and your listeners. I wondered before we kind of get onto the topic at hand, if it's okay with you, would you mind if we all just take a moment to pause, to kind of take a sacred pause and hold in our awareness all of the people that are being affected from that earthquake in Nepal this weekend, to just take a moment and just to wish them a sense of safety and a sense of being able to feel peaceful and a wish that they may be free from suffering.
I think that's a wonderful thing to do, Laura. So let's do that now.
Okay, that sounds great. And everyone can just kind of pause for a moment and tune into your own breath and your own breathing. Recognizing that as humans, we really all want the same thing. We want to be well. We want to be happy and at ease. And we want to be free from suffering. And just as we can offer that and hold that desire for our own beings, we can take a moment and extend it out to others in the world who may be facing big challenges right now, including but not limited to the people of Nepal and the surrounding countries affected by this earthquake. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Laura. I think that was a wonderful suggestion. And whenever these types of things occur in the world, I always offer, you know, kind of during my meditation, I would offer sending out unconditional love, and just having it spread out across the whole world, and especially sending it to all of those folks that are affected, as you said, by the occurrence in Nepal. And I think I'll be doing that later tonight too. Quite devastating what's happened there. So thanks for recognizing that and leading us in that moment. It's very important.
I think it is important that we know that there is something we can do even when it seems like we can't. Sending out good intention, sending out that love, as you mentioned, it really does make a difference.
It absolutely does. And I hope we reach a lot of listeners here tonight. everyone can had taken that moment. I can't imagine the energy that we were sending out. I've heard, you know, I've got quite a good listening base, so I'm hoping that people are able to take a moment. So that would be great.
Wonderful.
Laura, why don't you, now you're out in Colorado right now and enjoying some... Yeah, that's wonderful. You were telling me how you had such a mild winter, and you also have a new studio out there, right?
I do have an office. I have an in-home office and a small practice space in my home, and so I feel very fortunate to say that now I'm able to see clients physically in Boulder as well as see them at my home studio in Westport, Massachusetts. So I feel very fortunate and blessed in that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I had revealed all of your incredible credentials in the yoga world. Why don't you share what you feel is been most effective in your life about yoga and the practices, and what drew you to actually becoming a teacher of these practices?
Yeah, you know, yoga has been a really interesting journey for me. Back in the middle 90s or so, I was actually a professional chef. And I thought that that was my purpose in life, and I loved to cook, and I loved to entertain, and it was something that was really near and dear to my heart. And then I started having a lot of pain in my arms. I had started having problems using my hands, which, as you can imagine, for a chef, a lot of repetitive work, chopping, heavy lifting, that is not a very good match. And unfortunately for me, or now I would say fortunately, but at the time, it went undiagnosed for quite a long time. Carpal tunnel was kind of the designer disease of the day because everybody was on computers and having that repetitive movement, and that didn't turn out to be what I actually had. I had a condition called thoracic outlet syndrome, which is where that outlet collapses down on the nerve bundle that goes down into your arms, and I eventually ended up losing the use of my right arm completely. I lost all of hot and cold in my fingertips. Mm-hmm. I lost some of the use of my left arm, not as much. I was in chronic pain. And basically, when I was diagnosed at Mass General, you know, one of the best hospitals in the world, they told me that because it had been like that for so long, which at that point had been about 3 years, it just kept getting worse and worse, that they didn't know if it would ever resolve itself. And their their best guess for me was to have surgery and have a few ribs removed to try to make space for those nerve bundles. And also that I could go on antidepressants, which sometimes, I guess, helps nerve pain, although they don't exactly know why that is. So I didn't come to yoga like many people. In fact, I've literally taught thousands of students at this point, and I have not met one person yet who comes to yoga or meditation or I Rest Yoga Nidra and says, "My life is perfect. I thought I would just try this."
Right. Absolutely. I think it's part of the journey.
Yeah, it's part of the journey. Usually it's something that's distressing them, whether it's in their life or in their interpersonal relationships or something physically or emotionally. And I'm no different. I'm absolutely no different. I could no longer work as a chef. In fact, I couldn't work at all. I was in constant pain. My youngest daughter was 3 years old at the time. I was unable to lift her up, carry a grocery bag, drive a car, or even hold a pen to sign a check. Mm. So I was miserable and depressed. That's what drove me to yoga.
and I'm sure that doing the yoga at first, was it difficult at first to actually dive into that? How did that occur? How did that happen for you?
Yeah. You know, I was starting to not be able to tolerate myself anymore. And I'm sure my friends, who are probably too polite to admit this, were feeling the same way, because people would call and part of my story, and I say that in like quotation marks. I'll explain that a little bit later because it really does have to do with exactly what yoga is. But part of my story was, poor me, I'm miserable. Of course, right. I'm not feeling well. And you get to start to, I mean, it's true, but at the same time, you start to sound like a broken record. And I realized that I just needed to, like, break out somehow and do anything. And I didn't know anything about yoga at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at that time, it must have been somewhere around, I would say, 1996. So it wasn't as popular as it is right now. And I got my local recreation department program and looked at it and said, oh, Monday nights at 6 o'clock, I think I can get a babysitter. Let me get out of the house. But, of course, I couldn't do all the physical poses. I couldn't do lots of them because I couldn't lift my arms up over my head.
Mm.
You know? So I had to adapt. And my first two yoga teachers, Dean Hudson and Linda Hare Sullivan, were wonderful with me in showing me that you don't have to do all the poses. You don't have to do them perfectly. You can adapt. And what actually started to happen was I was still in pain. I still didn't have all the use of my limbs. But I started to feel like I was taking control of my life. I wasn't sitting on the couch the victim anymore. I was mm-hmm. taking an action. If your listeners are out there and any of them have ever had chronic pain or struggled with any kind of chronic illness, whether it's physical or emotional, you realize that very quickly you start to feel like you have no control or no say in your own life. And I think that perhaps that is even more devastating than the initial illness itself. So that was when I realized something's going on here. I didn't know what, but I knew that something was going on.
Yeah, and you know, it's so true. when you're realizing the energy flow that happens from those poses and how empowering it is and how release, like how you're able to release things from your being from those poses, it's like a miracle happens, like a shift within, and on a cellular level, things are just released. It's my understanding that yoga is, the poses are just part of the process, so you can have the ultimate spiritual experience when you actually go into meditation. So it's just releasing endorphins and feeling great and getting all of that negative energy out of your being. And is that kind of what you have learned in your journey on the yoga?
Well, actually, what I've found is that yoga, meditation, and IRS Yoga Nidra, which is a form of meditation, is a process where we free ourselves from our patterns that no longer serve us and align ourselves with our true nature. So a few moments ago, I had said, you know, part of my story was, you know, I'm the victim and I'm hurt and I'm this and that. So in general, all of us tend to conceptualize ourselves in three ways. There's the who we think we are. And those are the stories we tell ourselves. So, for example, in my story that I just told you about, you know, it's like I'm the victim, I'm having a bad circumstance, or it might be that I'm the responsible one in my family. In my case, I was a single mom, so I'm the responsible one. This is the story that I'm telling myself about myself. And then the second way that we self-conceptualize ourselves is through our emotional states and patterns. You know, I'm upset. It's how we react to things. Or I have anger. Or, you know, I have distrust. Or whatever it might be. One of my sayings that I'm trying to use as an example to show you these different ways we believe we tell ourselves who we are is in the emotional thing, because I was a single mom and I had been divorced, and not always a pleasant experience, my, like, emotional saying was, success is the best revenge, right? So this is, like, driving me.
And then I've heard that.
Yeah. And then the third way we identify ourselves is by how we show up in the world and what we do. So in my case, it would be I'm a chef, I'm a single mom, I'm the oldest daughter in the family. So the concept of ourselves in these three different areas, it comes from our deep unconscious patterns. And in yoga, we call those samskaras. And these impressions, basically they come from all of our life experiences, how we're brought up in our family, what kind of society we're brought up in, maybe what kind of religion we're brought up in. All of these impressions actually influence how we respond to daily life, how we think, how we feel, and how we act. So the practices of yoga, meditation, IRS yoga nidra, are for us to be able to stop identifying with those changing circumstances. And instead, it leads us to the place of what I like to call the ground of our beingness, or this place of a core of wellness, or core of deep peace and resiliency. And that we always have that, regardless of the changing circumstances that are happening in our life. So when we start to, really, it's about remembering that part of ourselves, because we forget, because we identify. Oh, I'm the one who can't be a chef anymore. Oh, I'm the one who can't work anymore. Or I'm the one who can't pay my bills. Or I'm the one who's a single mom. When we stop identifying from that and remember, touch that place inside of us again, that deep well of peacefulness, then we can deal with all of those things that are happening in the external life without them literally shaking our core. Yoga is just one tool. It goes through the physical poses, breathing. It eventually leads us to greater levels of concentration that can lead you to that place. Mindfulness meditation, which is another path that I also took, is another form where we're starting to use tools to deepen our concentration and to be with our inner experience moment to moment. And then IRS Yoga Nidra, which I have to admit has recently, well, recently, I say recently, for the past 8 years, has become one of my favorites, also leads you to that place. But because the tool is by bringing the body into deeper and deeper states of relaxation, I feel that it's easier to access. And you don't have to be able to have to get on a yoga mat. You don't have to sit still for meditation. You just lie down through the practice. So that's really the core of what yoga is. It really is an internal practice, although some of the tools, such as physical poses and breathing practices, are some of the tools that help to guide you and point you in that direction. Is that
well said?
Yeah,
that was an amazing description of what, you know, what state you're at and how to get there to the inner journey. How to actually, like, I loved when you talked about you almost become an observer of what's going on around you because you're allowing the peacefulness and the light within to be your guide, you know, to be that space. You hold that space within, and that's your focus, and not what's going on around you.
Absolutely. And it doesn't mean that we're not engaging with the world. You know, I want to be careful about that because people have really serious things going on in their lives. And I don't want to minimize it because none of us are living in a cave, you know, where we can just shut ourselves off from the world and say, oh, I'm just going to go in my cave and I'm going to meditate because I need some peacefulness. But this is actually a way that we can find that peacefulness inside of us. And it is a practice. And then be in the world and be in direct contact and engagement with the world from that place. And the wonderful thing that happens is not only are you able to see things more clearly and you really just know the right decision to make, because when you're present, you just know this is the right choice for me to make right now as opposed to second-guessing yourself. But also it starts to kind of emanate, if you will, to the people around you.
Yeah.
You know, they'll suddenly feel that from you. And it literally, that saying from Gandhi, you know, be the change you want to see in the world, when you really can cultivate that in yourself, it's amazing how just being with people, and it could be your friend, it could be your neighbor, it may be your family, but it could also be the clerk at the grocery store, mm-hmm. or the person who's servicing you at the bank. And when you bring that kind of presence, it really does have a ripple effect to everybody around you.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that just as you said, being the example, it's kind of tough sometimes when you're facing very difficult circumstances, and to just, okay, I'm going to be peaceful about it. Like you said, we are part of an earthly experience here. So to be realistic, it is a practice to get yourself back in that space. And from a standpoint of peacefulness and understanding that you're observing what's going on, being part of it, but from a standpoint where you're not totally engaging in a negative way, trying to always see the positive. I have sometimes had reactions to certain circumstances, and then later on found the gift, and it was such a delight to find that gift later on. So
right,
knowing that there is a gift in every circumstance is helpful to get there. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, I'd love to talk some more about the yoga nidra, and talk about the other parts of what you're doing with that. So we'll take a break right now.
Can I sail through the changing ocean tides? Can I handle the seasons of my life?
Are you looking for the keys to unlock the doors to excellent health, happiness, positive life experiences, success at work, wonderful relationships, and inner peace? You may think you won't ever find all of those keys that'll finally unlock the doors for good, but I can assure you that they're waiting to be discovered within you. The Mind Health Coach Program helps you journey within and open those doors that are blocking your way to a beautifully balanced life. We help you find the most natural and healthy holistic practices that work best for you and your lifestyle. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. A beautiful life is waiting to be discovered within you today. To learn more about our program, visit mindhealthcoach.com.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Sundays 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Sunday 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
The Dream Vision 7 Radio Network presents Kids for Love. It's a project, a mission, and a radio show. Come join Deborah Beauvais and her young co-hosts every second Sunday at 6 p.m. as we celebrate kids making a difference. We invite other kids to join in for the spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start their own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project. Celebrating kids that empower others. That's every second Sunday at 6 p.m.
Tune in every first Sunday at 6 p.m. for maximum success. The Coach Brew Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to the Mind Health Coach Program. I'm Leah Marie, your host. And you're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 Radio Network broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Radio Boston. And the show is heard every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can also tune into my show on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Friday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And to learn more and for a full station broadcast schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. And just so you know, I have a webinar that you can gain access to if you have a loved one that you're caring for, or if you're a nurse or an activities director in a facility. Go to mindhealthcoach.com, and in the webinar section, there's a webinar addressing essential oils in dementia, so essential oils for dementia. And there's lots of great tips and lots of good information about different types of essential oils that will help calm agitation and also help rejuvenate caregivers and help them cope more with the conditions that they're dealing with. So check that out at mindhealthcoach.com. And so tonight I'm here with Laura Marie, and she is an amazing lady who has done a lot of internal exploration and healing through yoga. And we were just going to get into the yoga nidra, which is I also referred to, I guess, as eye rest yoga. Am I right?
Well, yoga nidra is a practice that comes from yoga. It's very old. It's known as yogic sleep. And then eye rest, or integrative restoration, is a particular form of yoga nidra that was designed by Dr. Richard Miller. Dr. Richard Miller is one of my teachers. I feel grateful to be able to say that. He's one of my teachers. He's the founder of the nonprofit Integrative Restoration Institute, which teaches people how to participate in eye rest. He's the co-founder of the International Association of Yoga Therapists. He has a PhD in clinical psychology, as well as being a yoga and Buddhist scholar. And what he did was he took the principles of yoga nidra, this ancient practice, this Eastern practice, and he designed it with some secular adaptations, making it accessible to Western society. And so it's a very particular protocol. So you could say that eye rest is yoga nidra, but yoga nidra is not eye rest. Does that make sense?
Yes. I get
and they're
that.
Both wonderful. Yoga. I was first introduced to yoga nidra as part of my training as a yoga therapist. And I did use it and teach it for many years, but then I went on to study it more deeply as iRest with Dr. Miller. And at this point, it is my preferred version for teaching for a number of reasons. One is that you can do it one-on-one with people as an interactive process, or you can do it with a group. And the other thing that I really like about it is that iRest is researched. There's lots and lots of studies on it showing that it helps to decrease depression and anxiety. It helps with insomnia. They have been using it at Walter Reed, I think, for about 6 years now for the troops that are coming back with post-traumatic stress. It's just a wonderful, wonderful practice. And I like that it's studied. Anecdotally, I know that Yoga Nidra has helped lots of people. I've seen them in my classes. But then when I switched to iRest, I love to know the science behind it and the studies that show that it is actually improving the lives of people.
Yeah, that's interesting. So can you speak to any of that research? Is it something, you know, that creates circuitry in the brain, or, like, is it systematic? How is that affecting the body?
You know, for people who love the science, they can actually go on to, actually, I have quite an extensive resource list on my website, which is ShaktiWellnessYoga.com, and you will find the iRest website listed there, and you can actually go on there and read all of the research for yourself. In essence, what iRest is doing is that we're starting out with, we're inviting a very deep relaxation of the body and mind. So we're calming the nervous system, and we're starting to facilitate the ability to concentrate. We set up what's called an inner resource, and this is an internalized safe place of comfort and ease and well-being. And then it goes on from there. There's actually 10 distinctive steps that I would be guiding you through when you're doing an iRest practice for me. And what it is doing is, just as we were talking about earlier, it is bringing us into that interconnected place within ourselves. It's allowing us to touch that place of where we feel peaceful, we feel at ease, the ground, the inherent ground of our own beingness. And from that place, we're better able to deal with emotions that we may be struggling with injury or chronic pain that we're struggling with. When we're working from that place, we have the ability to deal with all of that life brings us, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
like I said, they're showing that people are absolutely being helped by this. And it's easy. All you have to do is lie down, and basically I talk to you for 45 minutes. And that's a wonderful thing, because you don't have to be able to do all the yoga poses. And I'm not saying yoga isn't still wonderful. It is. And, of course, it's going to help your body to stay healthy and, you know, keep you limber and all these other things. But that's not for everybody. This is a way you can literally lie down and listen to as I'm guiding you through a practice, either in a group or one-on-one, which is interactive, and have the benefit of being able to be guided and touch this place. And the more often we touch it, the longer we recognize it, the easier it is to stay there.
I think that's very interesting. And so I'm wondering, I work in the elder care community, and I'm wondering, have you ever tried this with some elderly folks that maybe have lost mobility, or just anyone in that condition? And, you know, if you have, what were the results for those folks?
Most of the areas that I have kind of specialized in, I have not necessarily had, well, I would say, I should back up. A lot of my students happen to be, over the years, happen to be in their 70s. But not necessarily at a place where they're in elder care kind of facility or situation. That hasn't been my area of passion, I would say. Where I have done this kind of work and has been a little more near and dear to my heart is I have worked with lots of people who are in chronic pain. And I've also worked a lot with female survivors of sexual trauma. And I've worked with that population quite a bit with the eye rest and the yoga therapy with really good results. So
Go ahead with your idea. I was just going to ask, what was your most successful situation? What did that look like for you?
My most successful situation is my own healing and becoming whole and being to live in the ground of my beingness. That's the most successful because that is the only way I can truly affect other people. Mm. In terms of what, I mean, we really can only fix ourselves, you know? In terms of working with other people, I actually consider all of it an amazing success because, first of all, when a client comes to me, whether they're part of a group or if I'm seeing them individually, the fact that they are allowing me to participate in that sort of intimate journey with them is an amazing gift. That's an enormous gift. Yeah. And so what I try to do is hold safe, non-judgmental space for them to be able to take that journey within themselves. And I give them tools to guide them and to help them. And especially when I'm working one-on-one, everybody's different, so everybody needs a different tool. Every session does not look exactly alike. But to me, the success is my own healing and then being able to hold space so that other people feel that they can embark on it.
That's beautiful. We're going to take a break. When we get back, is there any way you could kind of lead us through like a brief session for a couple minutes?
That's a good question. I could give you a quick sense of a rotation of consciousness, perhaps.
Okay, that sounds good. We'll be back in a minute. Ocean tides, can I handle the seasons of my life?
Join the Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Come explore with us natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. The power of a beautiful life is within you today. Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. The goal of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation is to cultivate a more peaceful world by creating awareness that we can choose love. By providing tools for our children and communities, we can enable them to develop a healthy level of optimism that leads to resilience. Our mission is to give people the understanding that they can choose love by living a life with gratitude, having the ability to forgive, and to be compassionate. This is a proactive effort towards mental health that'll provide children and adults with the perspective and wisdom they need to be able to navigate through life in a happy, fulfilled, and meaningful way. Our website is jessielewischooselove.org. Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life. Are you looking for the keys to unlock the doors to excellent health, happiness, positive life experiences, success at work, wonderful relationships, and inner peace? You may think you won't ever find all of those keys that'll finally unlock the doors for good, but I can assure you that they're waiting to be discovered within you. The Mind Health Coach Program helps you journey within and open those doors that are blocking your way to a beautifully balanced life. We help you find the most natural and healthy holistic practices that work best for you and your lifestyle. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. A beautiful life is waiting to be discovered within you today. To learn more about our program, visit mindhealthcoach.com. Invite the Kids for Love Project, an enrichment program, into your school, classroom, or wellness center. Kids for Love Project is focused on teaching kids unconditional love for self and others. The project is a journey into self-discovery. It consists of fun, creative tools to learn self-love, like I choose love, I am love, I stand in love, and utilizing one's energies with reconnective healing and tuning into one's intuition for inner guidance, plus connecting to our natural surroundings. Kids who hold love for self do not bully or harm others. Let's cultivate a kinder world that holds compassion for all. Teaching the power of love to our kids is the way. To learn more or to bring Kids for Love Project to your school, contact Deborah Beauvais, 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to our Kids for Love Project on Facebook.
Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick, the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
And I was standing.
To my love, took it down. I climbed a mountain and I turned around.
Welcome back to the Mind Health Coach Program. I'm Leah Marie, your host. And you're listening to live Dream Vision 7 Radio Network broadcast here at 1510 AM, WMEX Radio Boston. The show is heard every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can also tune into my show on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Friday at 10 a.m., 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can learn more about my schedule and the station broadcast schedule, too, at dreamvision7radio.com. And then, as I mentioned in the previous break, check out my website at mindhealthcoach.com. You'll be able to explore some of the things I'm doing. I'm offering 8 weeks to a better brain. That's going to be coming out as a new webinar soon. And so I'm going to be sharing lots of great tips and techniques that can help improve your brain health. I'm considered a dementia expert in the New England region. And so I love sharing that, that meditation and other holistic practices are very helpful in that. And you can also check out the current webinar, Essential Oils for Dementia, that's listed under the Webinars tab. And great information about that. And I have a good friend, Stephanie Gunning, who's an author, that's talking about the essential oils with me. And she's really an expert in the essential oils. But tonight I have Laura Marie here, and she's a yoga expert and also an iRest practitioner. And she's got two offices, one in Boulder, Colorado, and one in Westport, Massachusetts, very local to me. And so, Laura Marie, you've been sharing so many beautiful things tonight about your own journey and what has brought you to yoga and iRest, and it sounds like it's been, you know, quite a difficult journey. As you said, we never get here easy. It's usually something that is put in our path that we need to overcome. And you found these practices have really helped improve your health and well-being and just your overall experience in life. So we only have a few moments left. If you'd like to share some other things we were talking during the break, you know, things that you've got going on, and information about how to find a good practitioner.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to share that because, as I said before, you know, everybody is facing real life and we have challenges. And I do know that these practices can be quite helpful. You just have to find the right match for you. And so I would really encourage people to, you know, a lot of times we say, oh, let's go to a yoga class. Our friend wants to take us along. You know, pick up the phone and call several yoga teachers. There is not a national standard for certification. And in fact, there are some yoga teachers who may not even have appropriate training. So pick up the phone and talk to them and ask them, what are your classes like? This is my situation. This is what I'm dealing with. Do you have experience with that? There are so many different styles of yoga and also different personalities of yoga teachers that I've met students who they would have given up because of their first or second experience was just awful because they didn't realize that yoga is very different from person to person to person. So I do encourage you to do the research. There's a lot of good websites out there. Kripalu is in the Berkshires. It's the largest yoga training center in the whole country. International Association of Yoga Therapists, the Himalayan Institute. These are a lot of really great resources. I have them all listed on my website at Shakti, which is S-H-A-K-T-I. wellnessyoga.com. You can find those resources as well as books and CDs and other things that can help you learn. Mindfulness meditation. My teacher, Andrew Weiss, is one of the most wonderful meditation teachers I've ever had the privilege of working with. He has a wonderful book out. He also sees clients. He's located in North Carolina, but again, I have that on my resource list. iREST, of course, Integrated Restoration. And if you want to come see me, I'm going to be in Massachusetts from May through June this year, and I have a seven-week session of iREST happening in Chelmsford. I have a seven-week iREST session happening in Westport, and I have a couple of two-hour workshops that geared around, it's an iREST practice, but it's geared around figuring out what is your heartfelt desire. What does your heart want to manifest in your life? And I have one that's happening in Bedford, Massachusetts, and one that's happening in Boxborough. And again, you can get all that information on my web, as well as how to contact me if you want a private appointment.
Well, that's great. I just am so impressed with all the things you've shared tonight about yourself and your journey and the healing work that you've done for yourself. And you can just hear the passion that you have for these practices. And I think that's so important that you've actually worked with it yourself to heal yourself. Because as you mentioned to me, I think during the break, you can't really heal others unless you heal yourself first. And to have done it with these practices specifically, you're speaking from that experience, and it's You can understand why you'd be so passionate about it and encourage others that it is safe, it is loving yourself and healing yourself through these practices that bring you to another level in life.
Yes, well, I look back now at my injury as the best gift that I ever received because it definitely put me on this path, and I am passionate about it. My intention is to really help others to touch that place within themselves, that place when you're living there, you can live a fuller, happier, and freer life. You can be comfortable in your own skin, and that you know, inherently, you know, not just in your mind, but you feel it in your gut and in your soul, that your possibilities are really limitless. And if people invite me to help guide them in that way, I feel absolutely privileged and blessed for the work that I'm able to do. And I'm not doing the work. It's the individual people who are doing the work, and I'm just holding the space and giving them some little guidance along the way. But it really is that they're doing it all.
How fulfilling is that, you know, to be facilitating healing work like that? I often come across folks that are, you know, facing a lot of challenges and anything from really difficult times in their life, end of life, some in some occurrences, having to deal with leaving behind, you know, this earthly experience. And all of these wonderful holistic practices just help so much to overcome the fear and find the gifts. And I'm just so glad to have heard this tonight. It's intrigued me. I asked Laura in the middle of the break if I could have a session. I think it's a wonderful thing. So what's the best way to get in touch with you? Email to do that, Laura?
Either email, which you can find through my website, ShaktiWellnessYoga.com, or you can call my cell phone, which is 978-251-1001. Either way is absolutely fine.
That's great. And so how long does a session take when you're doing the session with an individual?
When I'm doing an individual session, that can widely vary, but the first session can be anywhere between about an hour and a half and sometimes even a little bit longer. And some of that is because I'm starting to get to know you. I'm wanting to know, why are you coming to see me? What is the result that you want to receive? Depending on what you're coming for, it could be, you know, if it's in yoga therapy, it could be that you have something very physical, and I'm looking at your physicality to see if there's some sort of imbalance that I can visually see. If you're coming to me for an emotional issue, then we may be taking a different stake. I bring in a little Ayurveda. Everybody has a different personality, and depending on your Ayurvedic constitution, that's going to tell me more about what kind of approach I should take with you. So that's why I say every session is absolutely different, because it all depends on the person and what's going on that's in front of me. So usually the very first one is at least an hour and a half, so that we can, you know, because there is some talking involved, so I can have a better understanding of what the person's dealing with and who they are. And then after that, it can be anywhere from an hour, and sometimes it goes up to an hour and a half, and that just depends on what we're working on, what the body's telling us it needs and wants, and how quickly it feels like it's integrating or moving along or getting its message across. So sometimes things happen very quickly and you're done, and other times you need more time.
Okay, so, and what is the length between sessions? Is it a weekly thing, or how does that work?
You know what? That is entirely up to the individual and what they feel that their needs are. So sometimes I've seen people just once, and then I never see them again. But I might see them come then later to a group class. Or sometimes people will say, yes, I want to see you once a week for 3 weeks in a row. I just finished working with somebody who was dealing with insomnia. And so we had a couple of sessions. I type things up. I give you home play. I don't like to call it homework, but home play, things for you to do at home. I stay in touch with you by email to see how the practices are going. And then when you feel like you've got those practices down, then maybe you come back again and say, okay, well, I need to switch it up, or I'm facing something different. So it is completely individualized. Whatever you put into it, you're going to get out of it. And even if you only put in a little, you're still going to get something out of it. And so
I love home
that's
play.
Why it's not like you it's not like you have to commit to, I got to come every week for 6 months to make progress. I meet you where you're at, offer you what I can wherever you're at. And then depending on how you feel, I need more, I need less, we work with that.
That's wonderful. I love the home play thing. I think that's a good thing. They should call that home play at school too.
Home play, because we all have our big to-do lists, you know what? And if remembering to do yoga or to do my eye rest, yoga nidra, or to do my breathing practice gets on the to-do list and it becomes one more thing to stress about, we've kind of just wiped out what we're trying to do. So I meet you where you're at and we figure it out how it can be manageable for you. Even 5 minutes a day is something.
Thank you so much, Laura. I'm so grateful to have you on the show tonight. And thanks for that wonderful pause earlier to send healing to Nepal and all other situations in the world. So thanks so much, and I look forward to seeing you back here in Massachusetts soon.
Well, thank you so much, Leah. It's been my pleasure. May we all be well and happy.
Absolutely. Namaste.
Thank you for tuning in to The Mind Health Coach with your host, Leah Marie. Come join us next time as we journey into the discovery of natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being. Mind Health Coach is a Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast, heard every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. To learn more about us, visit mindhealthcoach.com.